Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly grateful that you're listening to this broadcast on the third day of July 2021. We're going to be taking People Part 2. The last radio program that I did on people caused a furor in the little community that listens to me, and I was actually taken back by it and deeply grateful that they were listening and that they took maybe some of the things I said to heart, because it's very, very important to understand the role that people play in our life. I play a role in your life. You play a role in my life. It's just, you know, the way we are. We live in a world full of people. But let's talk a little bit about that. Something that most people can't talk about or won't talk about. People generally, what do they consist of? What are they made of? What is their natural ideals about their life? What is the premise of their living? Well, actually, it's absolutely about the Neanderthal part of us, the primitive part of us that just wants to survive at all costs. And it doesn't matter if you're in a person's way, if you're in their way to cause them what they think of as grief, because you're taking away something that they want, or you have something they believe they should have, or whatever, then we have all sorts of issues and problems. People will say, I just want to live in peace. And they want to live without hassle. That's really what they want to do. They don't want to be hassled by one another. They don't want to get involved in anything that would necessitate a conflict with another person to a certain degree. And then it goes passive aggressive, and all of the psychological problems and all of the demeanor of our depressions and all of that comes into play. And before you know it, that's all we're doing is living in the hallowed grounds of personal hatred. Do we really need one another? Do we? What is that about? Do people who need people, are they really, as Barbara sang, the luckiest people in the world? I think if you look at it and you see the neurosis and the psychosis of most people, if you need that in your life, then there's something wrong. Really wrong. I have had many students in my day come to me, many people who tried to be students, who their neurosis and psychosis would not allow them to be there, their obsessions, their compulsions. And once they were threatened in any given way, even if their depression was threatened in any way, oh boy, did the proverbial poop hit the fan. I've had it many, many times. I just recently had it where a female ex-student who was angry at me for revealing the insights that needed to be revealed at a retreat to help her, she just couldn't get it, demanded that her husband quit his practice. And of course, being of the kind of ilk he was or is, you know, with man disease, he succumbed. It's an interesting thing how people need people. So let's get into the questions, and we'll see what goes on here. The first one is by Thomas in Maryland. He says, people need people, Greg. Are you crazy? Many of us are lonely. Now, wait a minute. And then he goes into how we are here to appease other people's loneliness. I am not here, and I guess you are, Thomas, to appease people's loneliness. So let me ask you a question. Why can't you live alone? Why? Why is it you have to have people? What is going on within you that makes it so necessary and makes you so needy to need people? In other words, to need people that would make you happy or keep you company or make you feel important or make you feel loved or worse, make you feel normal. I find that relationships often meld into the psychological conditions that people have inside themselves, appeasing their depression, their neurotic attitudes, their lack of compassion and mercy, basically to hover around the whole idea of coveting their psychosis, neurosis, and their pathology for personal hatred. If you do not like yourself, if you do not particularly care for the kind of person you are, you're going to need other people in your life. I think it's a real sign. I can't be alone with myself. Why? Because I don't like me. Because I don't care about me. Because I don't da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All that. I've heard this in the counseling room. I've been doing this for 50 years, dudettes and dudes. And I've heard it all. Believe me, I have. Not one person in all those years have come to me and said, help me awaken. Not one. Why? Because they don't believe awakening is possible and they don't believe that awakening would help them. What are we awakening to? Love. We are awakening to mercy, compassion, forgiveness, all the things that are essential. But most people just can't do that, won't do that, and don't do that. Why? Because they don't want to. That's just the best way I can. They don't want to. They don't think they have to. People want to keep their psychology, their neurosis, their depression, and still function in a world and get what they want. And they use their mental and emotional issues to get what they want. They think that, oh, I have my mental and emotional problems. I've got, you know, my psychological issues of depression, etc. But, you know, everybody else does too. This is what I hear. Everybody else does too. So I must be normal. And we just go along and get along to try to go along and go along to get along to try to live our lives and try to make something happen here. Blah, 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 blah. Like throwing darts in the dark. We don't even come near the target because we're so busy dealing with our psychology, which has become neurotic. People can't be alone for a reason. They can't be alone because they don't know who they are. They don't understand the limitations of the human being, of the psychology of the human being. They have a neurosis that they just don't want to really get rid of or deal with. They don't want anything to do with it. They just want to do what they do, what they do, what they do. And that's all they want to do. So with all of that being said, and for all of that being what it is, we go out into this world and we cause ourselves a great deal of pain and suffering. So when you are friends with a person, let me lay this out for you. When you are friends with a person, you are basically saying to them, I am going to tolerate your psychosis, your neurosis, your obsessions, your compulsions, your psychology, your selfishness, your pride, your vanity, all that stuff. And I'm going to either ignore it or try to, or I'm going to, and this is 99% of people, be amused by it. People like to be friends with people who they think they're better than. So they just live in that kind of assumption, as it were, that whatever it is that they're doing or however it is that they're doing gives them a sense of being important. People want to be important to other people. They want to be superior. They're always in the race for survival, either, you know, in finances, in their personal life with another person, in trying to fight off, stave off their own depression through other people. We use other people. We don't understand each other. We use each other as a stepping stone to get what we want. And that's what people who need people are. Man disease is huge, huge. The men who need a woman to tell them, or a mate to tell them, in this day and age, it could be anything and anyone, male or female, to stave off the fear of being alone, because they can't be alone with themselves. That is just the scourge. Oh, you're alone. Oh, this is terrible. How come you don't have a... All over the place, people doing this. We miss the energetics of love. We're not interested in love, real love. We're interested in the emotions of affection that get us people and keep us company. And if you can find somebody to keep you company, that's fine. You know, people who need people, I'll tell you, Thomas, I am. Maybe I sound crazy to you, and maybe I am. That's fine. But I can tell you, nothing significant can happen as long as I'm in relationships that are necessary to keep me happy, to keep me comfortable, to keep a smile on my face. And I find that most people just can't do it. They're not seeking awakening at all. So there you are. To awaken is to go beyond all of this. And most people, I mean, who wants to be in a practice that allows you to be alone and to awaken and then to serve other people, to help them? There you are. Something for you to think about. The real, if you want to know how psychologically based you are, or where you are in your psychology, spend a few days alone with yourself and watch your thoughts. See how moody they are and how they come from emotional patterns of your genetic nature. Just watch and take note. You'll see. You will see. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives. Here's a corker. God, and he knows God evidently, God put us here to be together and to make family. That's what we're here for. Raymond. Really, Raymond? Now, God told you that? You God told you to do that. Really? Are you hearing God? Yeah. So God put us here. You know all this. Let's say you know all this, which you seem to. Really? And that's as far as it goes with you? Why would God do that when we're overpopulated? When you can't give anything to a human being without there being extreme coming out of it eventually. We make too many people. We make too much pollution. We make too much anger. We make too much war. We make too much of everything that is self-destructive. So if we're supposed to be together making family and people and all of that, how come we're also self-destructive? How come society is imploding upon itself? How come there's always wars and rumors of wars and things like that? How come? You tell me. Why? Tell me. Well, there isn't. You have to understand, people are ill, and probably more now than ever before. After the pandemic, people are ill. I have a student who is a tremendous artist, and she was having a class with people and students to come in and do work the art. They do fiber art, and they weren't interested in getting together for the purposes of the art, as she told me. She said all they wanted to do is sit there and talk and talk and talk, because she said, and very astutely, they're lonely. You know, they've gone through the pandemic and they've been sequestered and shuttered, and they're just plain lonely. So really, really, this is the way it ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. This is the way we are. So you think we're here, Raymond, to make more babies, more people? That's what we want. You think a big family surrounding you will keep you from the shackles of being alone and afraid in this world? You don't really want to overcome your aloneness. You don't want to see what it's all about, where it works from within yourself. Maybe work on yourself a little bit to free yourself of this and create the atmosphere where whomever you're with, they feel the compassion of your heart, your soul, your beingness. That's really what it's all about. The compassion of your heart and your soul. And when you live like that, or when you choose to live like that, in the scourge of neediness, then, gee, really? That's what it's all about. And, you know, basically, this is the pedestrian mentality at work. Jason suffers from it. Most people do. This is not a subject, really, that can be argued, because the argument on both sides doesn't penetrate beyond the psychology. If you look at your life and you look at the way we live our life, if you look at the means of our living, it is strictly about survival, and we need people to survive. We don't want to feel alone. People want to feel taken care of. They want somebody to cook and do whatever it is and hear their emotional blunders and flubbles and all of that. They really want all of that, and they want to think that all of that matters. So they need someone to tell them what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. They need something to make them believe that they're not alone, that there's somebody else in all of this, and that someone else, or these people who are someone else, can help them, keep them company before they die. You always hear about this thing in the newspapers or on the internet when somebody dies, that when they died, they were surrounded by family. Like, Let me tell you, I have worked at hospice for well over 30 years, and that is not what is going on at all. A lot of people die alone who have families. A lot of people have no one to help them. They don't want the people that could, don't want to help them. They don't think they have to, they should, blah, 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 whatever. So you live in a world governed by an animal, the human animal, that only wants to survive, and it is only looking to avoid death, avoid suffering, avoid unpleasantries. And you want to be, Raymond, around those kind of people who basically, in the end, will either abandon you because they don't want to go through what you're going through, or they don't feel it is important for them to live their life in accord with love and share their life. I have learned more about myself at hospice than I have ever learned with reading a book. Consciousness, practice of meditation, these are the things hospice has taught me. It's those beautiful things of meditation, of inner work, of transcending the ego, transcending the patterns of my thinking and my emotions that have made the difference in my life. And I can tell you, Raymond, that there is something more beautiful than what you think of as your life. It lives within you, and the beauty just rages on within you. Goodness, mercy, all of that, just, it's all over the place. The beauty of love is everywhere, but you're not going to necessarily find it while you're trying to sacrifice certain parts of yourself for the sake of being loved. You're just, it's not going to happen. Just, it can't happen. I give my students the three teachings that I have found in my own life. The first one is live simply. Don't complicate your living. Number two, solitude, to be alone, to look deep inside yourself and to be alone. And then, of course, those two are done in silence, which leads to silence. And that is something that a lot of people just simply don't want anything to do with, silence. But there you are. It's all about silence. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is very insightful from a lady named Susan. She does not tell me where she lives. She talked about a little bit about the radio program and my series on Nobody Likes You Anyway, and thank you for your kind words about that, Susan. And then she asked, the question I think we all need to know is, why are we here? You are living in a body, but that is not your here. If you want to make that your here, then you will make it your here. And you will make it very difficult for you to live in this world. But if you really want to awaken, if you want to understand what living is all about, what life is, you have to live beyond the whole idea of your body. You have to live here, in the heart. You have to live soulfully, not humanly, soulfully. This means I must be willing to drop everything that is my human for the sake of the awakening beyond the human. Now, if I'm willing to do that, if I am willing to have that kind of direct experience, then something very beautiful is going to happen to me. I need to understand the nature of my heart, the nature of my being, the nature of the goodness that lives within. And this goodness does not necessarily coincide with what Greg wants or what Susan wants. There is a goodness that is beyond the concept of Greg and Susan. And to understand that goodness, to immerse ourselves in that goodness, is a very important thing to do. Something that is rare in human beings. To go beyond the confines of what pleasures the body and makes the body believe that it is happy, makes the body believe that it's doing the right thing, makes the body believe that gratification is what's important in this lifetime. Why are we here? You came here into this body to learn about detachment, about about all of the things that transcend the idea of possession and being possessed. It is all about learning how to awaken. It is about learning how to let go, how to no longer hold yourself to the idea of what you believe you are. It is about transcendence, impermanence. We are constantly evolving inside of ourselves towards love if we are consciously living. But if we are not, then those moves towards conscious living that go beyond biology and psychology, they're hard to come by, and we miss the whole meaning of our existence here on Earth. I gotta go. I could go on with that one forever. Thank you, Susan, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are, people part two. I don't know if we got anything really accomplished. I don't try to change your minds. I just offer to you the answers you pose to me. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.